Well, as everyone knows here, I went to Orange Beach, Alabama, and actually it's Orange Beach, Alabama, where the whole entire area stopped when the tide played, and the people that were staying with me, some friends came in, some family. Hurricane outside didn't matter because you had to watch the Alabama football game. And they were intense. They start screaming, "Roll Tide!" And I'm like, ugh. But that's just Alabama.
Tide did come in, didn't it?
And the tide did come in, yes. And the tide rolled. But I met someone at Orange Beach, a gentleman. Well, he was talking and telling me things and explaining things. And he said he ran out of gas. So the message today, the title is Out of Gas. Pretty straightforward message. Well, what does that mean? Well, the gentleman went on to explain that he had fallen behind in everything. He ran out of gas. He had no energy. He was just done. And obviously, I really paid attention to this. Was fascinated. Every time that I want to tell a story about my problems, I meet someone that has worse problems. So their story trumps mine all the time. So I think God wants me to listen more than talk. So I listened. Fallen behind in everything. Well, what does that mean? Bible study. Because God comes first. Seek first the kingdom of God. He had put too much energy into other things and had no energy left to talk to God, to study to God, to meditate. Prayer. He noticed that his prayers were kind of anxiety prayers, where you know you need to pray, but you don't have the time to kneel before God and talk to God and ask God to take care of everything. He had fallen behind in his prayers. So normally if you pray for X, he was praying for Y. They were squeezed and compressed, and it was like, okay, I need to say all these things. I'm going to say them real quick, and then I'm done. Well, his family had suffered. He felt like he wasn't spending enough time with his family. He was there, but he wasn't there. And so I'm like, oh, keep talking. This sounds familiar. And then, of course, when he mentioned work, I was all ears. Work had grown to the point where he wasn't able to achieve what he needed to achieve. When he thought he should be able to get it done, he couldn't get it done. He had no energy. Then, of course, everyone here knows how it works. When things come against you, everything else falls apart. It's just the nature of how it goes. His house started falling apart, and he had to get repairs on his house, and he was falling behind on repairs. So basically, he wasn't doing the necessary things to get his house to look nice. He was doing his necessary things to keep his house from actually breaking. So his whole mindset changed. His life, when he took a breath, he noticed he was out of gas. So he goes on to explain, and this part is more of an extract from that. He was stuck in the great rat race. I think we've all heard that term before, but I had to look it up so I could make sure the definition is exactly what I perceive it to be. A rat race is an endless, self-defeating, or pointless pursuit and conjures financially. The term is commonly associated with exhausting, repetitive lifestyle that leaves no time for relaxation or enjoyment. When I read that from Wikipedia, I was like, wow, that's exactly what I thought the great rat race was. Well, how do you get into the great rat race, and how do you get out? First of all, your biggest liability in most households around the whole entire U.S. is your mortgage, your house. Your house is not an asset, it's a liability. I guess the average mortgage in America is $173,000. So that's the average size of a loan at a bank across the whole country, from those crazy West Coast people that have, you know, $1 million for a 500 square foot place, and then the East Coast, which again is just as crazy, and us normal people here in Texas. That's the average size of the mortgage for a house. So why do they work? Why do they work themselves to the bone? Well, because they got to pay the mortgage. No, it doesn't stop there. The rat race continues on. I won't go in extreme depth with it, but the average car debt, $28,000. That's the average. Credit card debt. The average American has credit card debt that totals $16,000. Every man, woman, and child average is every household, excuse me, average is $16,000. And saving for kids' schooling. Well, you can kiss that goodbye, right? The average kid has a debt of nearly $50,000, which I don't understand how it costs $50,000 to get a degree in how to talk, or to get a degree in how to, you know, I'm trying to make fun of it, but I'm not coming up with any analogies. But
underwater basket weaving.
Yeah, underwater basket weaving, that's a perfect example. That's just the debt that they get. And then when they come out, they can't afford it, so they're living with their parents still. If my kids end up living with me when they're 30 or 27, I think, well, ugh, that would be torture, right? Anyhow, the solution. Well, we all know the solution. God knows. He knew this would happen. He knew it. So what did he do? He instilled the Sabbath, where we are right now. We're worshiping God on the day he set aside to rest. If I can ask you quickly to turn over to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. And just in verse 1. Hebrews 4, 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Now, if you read all the way down to 9, what the message is it's the Sabbath rest. Many generations that have come up through time have not had rest. Well, now, there's another scripture which we're all familiar with, and I tell you, I love it. When I get overwhelmed and have anxiety, I read it, and it just makes me laugh at myself. And, you know, probably Matthew 6, 25. I'll read it, just some of it quickly, and actually you'll probably be able to fill the rest in. Therefore I say to you, Matthew 6, starting in 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? And then the rest of it is, as you know, God takes care of everything. If you watch the birds every day, they don't look scrawny, do they? They get fed every day by God. So, and of course, the heading on that chapter, that verse is, don't worry. So every day this week, guess what I've been playing? Three Little Birds by Bob Marley. Don't worry about a thing, because everything's going to be all right. Me and my kids dance to that at 6:50 in the morning. So I'm sure people driving by think we're really strange. But you don't worry. I need reassurance that you don't have to worry about anything. Everything will be taken care of. The more pressure put upon you, the more you have an opportunity to go to God and put it all back on God. God, take care of everything. I know you will. And then breathe. So this person that I met, obviously you can see why I took such interest. And he wasn't the most interesting person I met at the feast. That person was a church member, and you may know him. He actually met the Queen of England. He's met the monarch of Monaco. He's met world power leaders, because what he did for a living was set up department stores, clothing lines for Macy's or Saks, one of those big shops. Back 40, 50 years ago, he was doing it. Well, actually, he's 94, so that might be 60 years ago he was doing it. So the store would open up a massive store, and they would have royalty come in. And it was just an epic event. And he was a part of that. So his story, I got the honor of listening to as well. But in conclusion, so why do humans worry? Because they lack faith. Everything will be taken care of. The cycle, the life cycle of human, of a human, is to get themselves in over their head until they drown, and then they ask God for help. Most don't even ask God for help. What they do is they go to the government and ask the government for help. They have their house foreclosed on, their cars repossessed, they deplete their kids' savings accounts and retirement accounts. And of course, we should not live in the great rat race. We should never get ourselves in over what we can extend. But we must take time to fill up our tank of gas. Each week, I know everyone here, when you're done and you come to the Sabbath, you fill up your tank of gas. And we do not run out of gas, because God designed it to where we don't have to. And that is what we are doing here today, filling up our tank.